A federal jury in New York City this past week found attorney Lynn Stewart guilty of aiding terrorism by smuggling messages from a client out of jail. Stewart had promised to obey federal rules barring her client, Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman, from communicating with his followers. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez hailed the verdict, saying it sends, quote, a clear, unmistakable message that this department will pursue both those who carry out acts of terrorism and those who assist them with their murderous goals. Mimi Wesson teaches at the University of Colorado Law School and speaks with us from time to time about legal issues. She joins us from the studios of KGNU in Boulder. Welcome, Mimi.
Good morning, Sheila.
Mimi, you've worked both as a prosecutor and a defense attorney. Is the attorney general correct in how he characterizes the message of this verdict, or is there a message that attorneys who represent unpopular clients risk prosecution?
Certainly, at the outset of this prosecution, many in the criminal defense community expressed the fear that it was intended as an effort to chill the efforts of zealous defense attorneys. As the trial has unfolded and the evidence has been disclosed, I think that fear is less than it was at the outset. The evidence suggested that Ms. Stewart, many believed, really had exceeded the boundaries of zealous advocacy and crossed over the line into aiding her client's efforts to continue communicating with terroristic organizations in Egypt. So under the circumstances, although some are still characterizing it as a persecution of a devoted attorney, others are willing to see it as a warning only that attorneys who represent defendants accused of terroristic crimes should be careful to observe the limits of their professional role.
Now, did part of the evidence in this case involve monitoring her conferences with her client?
Yes, actually the bulk of the evidence, it seems, consisted of transcripts and recordings of conversations that she had with her client while he was in custody. And that was a controversial aspect of the trial as well.
How widespread is that practice?
It's difficult to know because under the USA Patriot Act, it's possible for attorney-client conversations to be monitored without the attorney or the client being aware of this circumstance. Government officials assure us that this is done rarely, but there's no way to be certain, really.
And this has been a big issue in terms of the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, correct?
Yes. In fact, I think some of the most important implications of this practice of monitoring attorney-client observations are in the case of individuals detained at Guantanamo Bay. Several lawsuits have been filed challenging the conditions of their confinement there, particularly the aspect that for many of them, they've been confined for many months or years without any kind of process at all. Since these lawsuits have been permitted to go forward, ever since the Supreme Court said during its last term that these detainees should have access to courts in the United States, the question naturally comes up of what kind of access these attorneys should have to their clients while the clients are imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay. These questions are very confusing and very difficult. Right now, they're before several courts in the D.C. area, and they've been consolidated before one judge, a senior judge, Joyce Hens Green, who's issued a set of directives or instructions about how this difficult question of client access to attorneys in situations where terrorism is a fear ought to be conducted. Whether the judge's order is going to be the last word on the matter or whether appeals by one side or the other will kick the matter up to a higher court remains to be seen.
We've been talking about terrorism cases. Are there ramifications for legal proceedings that are not related to terrorism?
This is the question that really troubles lawyers the most, I think, Sheila. There is a fear that any dilution of the constitutional rights enjoyed by criminal defendants in cases where their government says that there are terroristic activities or a fear of terroristic communications being passed along, that any dilution in those cases is going to have a sort of a blowback effect and may, in the end, dilute the protections that defendants in cases that have no such aspect at all are involved in.
Mimi Wesson is a professor at the University of Colorado School of Law. When she's not writing about the law or teaching it, Mimi raises llamas in the Rocky Mountains and writes mystery novels. Her latest is called Chilling Effect, published last year by the University of Colorado Press. Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you, Sheila.